Happy Fathers, everyone. Well, this day is very special for me because since I was a kid, I remember when I was a kid, I never had good memories about my father. When I was not even born, my father abandoned me because he thought that I was someone else's child. And a few months after that, my mother left and she also went away for many years. So I struggled a lot as a kid, I remember. It was very tough for me not to have a father around. And I grew up with my aunt, which was a very, very, very hard person to deal with. And I remember going to school when I was a kid and many celebrations about Father's Day. I remember many kids bringing gifts to their dads to school. And I always ask myself, what is this? You know, what is this celebration? Because I never had a father next to me. As I grew up, I understood what Father's Day was. It was honoring the fathers that were there with their kids, supportive, encouraging them and with them all the time and helping them with sports, with school and all that stuff, a hug, a kiss, I love you and all this stuff. And I remember seeing all this in Father's Day, all around the little town where I grew up, all, the parties, the feasts, the food, and I was in the middle of all this, trying to look for someone to call dad, father, but he was never there. So I grew up like that, not having someone. It was very hard for me to experience all this, not having a father around me. It was very hard. And one day I remember that I couldn't take it anymore. I was probably like around 10 years old. And I ran to a corner of a street where I used to live in this little village. And I look up on the sky and I started to cry. And I asked God, God, why is this happening to me? Why I don't have a father with me? I want to have a dad. That's what I asked God. I wanted to have a father there because I couldn't take it anymore, And seeing my sisters so sad, my other two brothers living a hard life because no one was there with us, for me it was very painful. Very painful. So the time came that my mother showed up for a while, probably like around 2 months after so many years, and then she disappeared again. And I wanted her to stay with me so bad because I was very desperate to have this parents' love. And then the time came that I had to travel to this country. And my older brother told me, guess what? Today you're going to get to see who your real father is, And I remember we went, I was like, but I went with the intention to beat him up because I was so angry. I wanted to fight him back and made him pay for what he did. I always call him coward. I didn't call him a father. But through time, we went to see him. It felt very, very awkward. Very bad. I couldn't call him dad. I couldn't call him father. And that made me more painful. The wound, it was open even more. So, long story short, I wanted to make them pay. I went to drugs. The day came after so many years when the Lord finally called me. I remember I visited a church. When I went inside the church, I was very high up on drugs. A deacon stood on the door, and he held the door. He didn't want me to get out, and I was trapped. I remember the preacher preaching, and he said something. He said, Heavenly Father, he who believed in him gave him the power to become sons of God. I remember that night that word really It stayed in my head. I remember that very well. And it was beautiful to me to know that, you know, there was a father, you know. But you don't see him, right? And I remember that night hearing the message, the word Heavenly Father was mentioned so many times. It got my attention. Remember, I was very high up on drugs. So I went home that night. The second night I said, I'm going back. So I went back. I remember I went to the desire of accepting Jesus, because I heard that he who believes in him gives him the power to become sons of God. I accepted the Lord, I remember, that day. And I went home very happy, you know. And I wanted to experience what kind of Father God is, you know. I started to read the Bible. And let me tell you something. Even today it happens to me when I do mistakes in life, I say to myself, well, I'm making of these mistakes because I didn't have a father to advise me. You know, I never had a father's advice. Never. But when I read the Bible and I find God's advices, now I understand that he is the best father I ever found. And I know that all the time when I was alone as a child, I know that he was there. Because if I'm standing here right now, it's because he was with me. And I thank him for that. Now, I'm a father. When my kids were born, I didn't know how to raise them because I never had a father to tell me that. And I was confused, and I was happy, but at the same time, I was challenging with this. You know, I never had a father. How am I going to do it? But God, in his word, helped me how to do it. Every advice that I give to my kids is based on God's advice. Every guidance that my kids received is based on the Bible. Now my direction has changed. I'm very happy that now I have a Heavenly Father. And I accepted the Lord, I don't know how many years ago, probably 20 years ago. But since then, every Father's Day, you know, I feel very happy knowing that I have a Heavenly Father who will never disappear from my sight. And this is my faith, that one day I had a father who left and didn't see him no more. But I know that the day is coming that I have a father that I don't see. But I know soon if the rapture happens or if I die, I'm going to get to see this father. And I want to get to know him very well. Everything that we are, everything that we have, the way my kids are growing is based on the advices of my Heavenly Father. And I thank the Lord for taking me when I accept Jesus Christ as his son. You know? And to me, it's a very, very beautiful privilege knowing that he not only received me as one of his kids, but also he took the pain away and all the anger, all the bitterness I had. To the point that when my father, one day, I called him and I told him, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you everything you did to me. Before my mother dying, they both died. I told my mother, you know what? I forgive you. And I thank God for my brother, the older one. He helped us. He had to work hard. He raised 3 kids that were his brothers, not his. And today, right now, 1 year ago, he was in the morgue. He died from an overdose of drugs. And that really hurt me, I remember. But still, the person who helped me left, But I still have a God who will never leave my side. And I don't know what is going to happen in 10 years. I don't know. But I put everything in God's hands. I put my wife, my kids, my life in God's hands. And I always will trust in my Heavenly Father. And I encourage you to trust in Him too. He will take away any pain you have, any remorse. He will help you. God bless you, everyone.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank God for y'all's testimonies and for the worship. And let us continue. Let's stand and read God's word together about our Abba. Abba is the Aramaic word for like daddy or papa. Paul is writing to a Galatian church, helping them to understand. Let's read Galatians 4, starting verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these testimonies of your goodness, Lord, of your grace. Thank you for bringing our brothers into an understanding of who you are, to a saving relationship that they would eagerly repent, Lord. All of us want to testify and boast in your mercy. We thank you that we could come before you, confess our sins, Lord, and you lift us up and bless us and fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we pray if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you as their Father, their Abba, they would hear you calling them to come to you. Lord, revive us with joy in your salvation. Revive us in your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So do you see God as a Father? And what kind of Father? A jolly, benevolent, gift-giving guy who's kind of distant? Maybe a stern father who's very demanding, has high expectations? What's your view of God as Father? The single most important thing in our lives, determining who we are, what's going to happen, our North Star, our compass, our metronome, the most important thing is our view of God, what he is like. That's going to affect, that's foundational to our lives. How do we see him? What's his character? And his character is constantly being slandered. Ever since Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, yeah, God didn't tell you the right thing. He's withholding something good from you with this rule he gave you. Ever since then, he's constantly being slandered. And it's often in terms of his rules. A lot of people see God as simply a rule giver. Start with the Ten Commandments. Those seem kind of reasonable. But then there were dozens and dozens more. Many of them don't make any sense to us, or they didn't at the time for God's people. They seemed arbitrary. And maybe we can continue to feel that way. Just come to church to find out what's the right thing to do. What's the wrong thing to do? Just tell me the rules. Now, that's the way it is with children, right? Children need lots and lots of rules that they are not capable of understanding. rules on, you know, how to rest, how to play, how to dress, how to eat, what to eat. They can't understand these things. I remember one time at Longhorn Steakhouse, Jeremiah sat for over 15 minutes with a piece of squash in his mouth because he refused to swallow. You don't eat your vegetables, you do not get apple pie with ice cream. What kind of a tyrant does such things? These vegetables are gross. Why? It ended in a stalemate because after over 15 minutes, to keep from vomiting, he had to spit it out. But nobody really enjoyed that. We need lots and lots of rules as children. But then there does come a time when the rules are no longer necessary. Talks about here, when the fullness of time had come. There comes a time for Jewish boys, it was a bar mitzvah, when we say, look, you no longer are just following a bunch of rules. It gets replaced by wisdom, by understanding, by doing what I know in my heart to be wise. And yet, we want that time to come, but it's not that simple, not that easy. Because even when you do get understanding, I still do what I know is wrong. And I don't do what I know I should do. I don't do what I know to be the wise, the good thing to do. How am I going to get free from this? Now, Paul uses a bit of hyperbole here. Jesus often used hyperbole. You know, he said, if your eye, gouge out your eye, cut off your hand. He said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He would use great exaggeration. Said, he who does not hate his own father and mother and brother and sister, his own life, is not worthy to be my disciple. Here, Paul is using a bit of hyperbole, saying we are slaves. First, we're slaves of the law. I just have to do it. I don't understand it. They're making me do it. I don't understand why God is requiring this of me. But then, as I grow up, I realize I'm a slave to sin. I know what's unwise, but I still... So what's God going to do? What's his solution? Again, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son. Now, if you had asked me, what's the purpose for all the Old Testament, all these rules, all this teaching? This probably would not have made the top 10, maybe the top 100. I said, oh, it's teach you how to have a healthy family, right? How to be a good person, how to take care of the poor, how to have a just society. That's what it all, purpose is that we would see God as our Abba, our Papa, our Daddy, and we would cry out to him. We would have that kind of relationship with him. That's all of this is drawing us. Say, you had a personal relationship with your Father. And then everything that flows from that is personal. You know, when it comes to being a kind person, being a wise person, there's no statutes. It's not even a moral decision. It's just a very, very personal decision. Depending on the situation, one person's different from another. We cry out to our Father, Abba. This was Jesus's calling, addressing God as Father. It wasn't very common in the Old Testament at all. But it was Jesus's favorite term for addressing God, was as Father. And he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And when he prayed for his disciples just before he was arrested, he prayed, Father, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And you know, just about a month before Jesus was arrested, he was facing all kinds of rejection. Many of his disciples, many of the people who'd been following him stopped following him. His words were just too intense. And the leaders had decided they were going to kill him. And what did Jesus do? He said he withdrew and went back to the Jordan where he was first baptized, where John the Baptist baptized. Went back to the very beginning. I think in the face of all this rejection, he just went back to where he'd heard the greatest affirmation from his Father. You know, when the Holy Spirit descended and God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That was what mattered to him. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, he said, "Abba, Father, take this cup from me, not my will, but yours be done." So, that's the view that we want to have of God. When asked in the beginning, what is your view of God? That's everything. He wants us to see him as the daddy who loves us, the papa who cares deeply for us. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of this. Times we might come to church because I feel obligated. I should do it. Instead, I want to be in my Father's house. I want to be near where he lives. Bible study and prayer, do we do it out of a sense of duty or out of a sense, as our brother Abel said, I want to know my Father's advice. This is the light to my feet, the lamp to my path. Anytime we serve, we can sometimes feel like we're just doing it out of a sense of duty. This is what I should do. I want to remind ourselves, I want to see more people in my Father's house. I want to build with gold, silver, precious stones. I'm investing in his kingdom. That's why I'm doing this. Has there come a time in your life when you realize that God loves you not because of anything you do, not because of anything you accomplish, not because of anything on your resume, because you are his child and he loves you, been adopted? Why wasn't the word Abba translated into Greek? In all the times, like when Jesus prayed in the garden, "Abba, Father, take this cup from me." Jesus and his disciples all spoke Aramaic. They didn't speak Greek. So when the New Testament was written, it was translated into Greek except for this word. And I think it's just telling us that when we're praying to God, that we truly have the Spirit of Christ in us, that he came and completely identified with us, identifying with all of our struggles, identifying with all of our temptation, identifying even when we have a sense of failure, completely identified with us. And when we pray to our Father in heaven, it's just like Jesus praying, "Abba, Father, help me, guide me." This will have everything to do with how we parent our children, how mothers and fathers parent their children. You know how we say a great leader needs to be a great follower, right? Jesus told his disciples, "He who wishes to be great must be a servant of all," right? He came to serve. And in similar fashion, the most important thing, so we don't know what to do. Most important thing is that we are crying out to our Abba, Father, as we parent, as we go through each day. Because he gives us this monumentally important task to raise children. And we quickly realize how completely inadequate we are for raising these children. I can't do this. I'm not able. I don't know what to do. Have y'all faced that at times as parents? I'm looking at these kids. I have no idea what to do. This toddler is so defiant, it's scary. Abba, Father, help me. What do I do? He doesn't give us this task because we're able. We're not able. You can't be independently righteous. You can't be independently able. God didn't call people to do great things because they were able. If you read the Bible carefully, Moses wasn't able. Abraham wasn't able. King David, he wasn't able. Disciples, they weren't able. The list goes on. He doesn't call us because we're able. He calls us because he will equip us. He will provide. Ted Tripp says it's not a sign of personal weakness or failure or of character to feel unable. He gives us this task so that we would know better who he is. We could know him as our Abba Father. And then we'll be able to teach our children the same thing. Teach them to cry out to him. I mean, in the morning when you wake up and you don't want to get out of bed, he is with you as your Abba Father. And when you're face to face with that toddler who genuinely scares you with his defiance, right? God is with you. You cry out, Abba, Father. When we go to bed at night, full of regret, I feel like I really failed today. God is with you. And you still, we cry out to him, Abba, Father. If we ever get the idea that we're able to do this, I can do what's right. I can follow it perfectly. I'm a good person. That'll lead to disaster. We'll start expecting the same things from our children. I expect you to do everything right. I expect you to follow all the rules perfectly. I expect you to always make straight A's. That will lead to misery. We'll start putting on masks. We'll start whitewashing our hearts. We need grace. We need mercy. We need to be able to cry out at all times, Abba, Father. So God uses our relationship, uses marriage, uses parenthood to teach us, to draw us to himself. He uses irritation, impatience, exhaustion, that we would cry out to him. I remember where I was standing at our home in New Jersey, standing in the living room at 3 a.m. I remember when it suddenly hit me. I can understand shaken baby syndrome. I remember being glad that I knew it was a very real danger. You're exhausted. How can I possibly, with something so precious, something so wonderful, so completely dependent on me, how could I ever be that impatient? Years ago, there was one of those cults in Texas, hyper-legalistic, hyper-follow-the-rules. The leader of the cult literally taught his people to waterboard babies. You take him to the kitchen sink, hold its head under the water to stop it from crying because you can't shake him. We cry out, Abba. We cry out, Abba, Father. Guide me, strengthen me. As our brother Abel said, speak to me through your word. Because the fight is never going to stop. Our struggle against sin, the power of sin has been completely defeated. But the presence of sin is still with us. So that every day, till the day Jesus returns or he takes us home, till that day comes, we're going to be struggling. We're going to need to get on our knees. Say, Abba, Father, guide me, give me understanding, strengthen me, Lord, give me your patience. Help me to deny myself, take up my cross and follow you because I want to know you. I want to be yours. This is our special privilege now. It's a privilege. We get to share in his sufferings. Someday, we're going to go home to glory. And it's going to be something so amazing, so beautiful. New heavens and a new earth. We don't want to get there and say, wait, I'm not ready. Let me go back and praise God. Let me go back and suffer a little more with Jesus. No, this is our precious. I get to show myself. I get to show my Father. I get to show I truly trust him and believe in him. And I get to share in his sufferings. And I'm not being a good person. I'm not being faithful because I'm going to get any reward in this life. No, I mean, Paul said, if the dead are not raised, we are of all men the most to be pitied. I mean, being a Christian, once you become a Christian, there's a truck coming to wipe you out. You're going to suffer. But it's a precious privilege now. So as we're parenting our children, God is parenting us, and he's using that to draw us to himself. So we want to dedicate ourselves to him, and we want to dedicate our children to him as a stewardship. And I'm going to let you know, we've talked about this fall, we're going to have a child dedication service where we openly, publicly recognize, God, this is your gift to us, and we're going to trust, we're going to dedicate ourselves to raising our children in the fear of the Lord, not to be rule followers, but to be children who will cry out to you, Abba, Father. We're going to do that this fall, and in preparation for that, we're going to talk more about grace-filled parenting. So I encourage you, this is just kind of a preview of the things we want to talk about. What does it mean to parent our children with grace? All the way up until, I mean, it's not going to stop when our children go to college. It's not going to stop when they have children. We're going to constantly be in this business. So we want to remind ourselves how to do it in grace. Amen? So you come and talk to us if you want to be involved in that. And of course, if you haven't been set free, if you haven't been emancipated, we urge you, turn to Christ. Put your trust in him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. You make it so clear your desire is to draw us close, to cry out, Abba, Father. That you want us to do that even as you call us to do monumentally difficult tasks such as raising children. As we testify to your grace, Lord, as we at times face persecution, as we face rejection, you want us strong in your spirit. You want us able to fight the good fight, able to endure great suffering. But through it all, we do it as a personal and a personal walk with you. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone in here, again, who doesn't know you that way, or that tonight they could go in their closet and shut the door, get on their knees, and just call out to you and hear you speak to them, hear you speak through your word, hear you speak through your spirit and through your people. Lord, guide us as a church to raise up the next generation. Guide us as parents to raise up our children, to seek you, to trust you, and Lord, to cling to your grace. Recognize we have in ourselves no good thing. We have not the strength. We have not the ability. But Christ in us, you can do. You can bless us richly, and we give you thanks for that. Lord, guide us in raising our children to know you as their Abba Father. We pray in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.
love for us.